What I'm going to talk about is ESTD prevention and control, electronic STD prevention and control, and kind of where we are and where we're going in San Francisco. I'm going to talk about the key components of STD prevention and control, focusing on surveillance, education, health promotion, screening and test results, partner notification and treatment, and then prevention, and just highlight a couple things that we're doing now in 2007 and 2008, recognizing that this has been an evolution of a lot of different individuals' work and a lot of different evaluation of different programs since we began our efforts in the summer of 1999. So first I'm going to cover some issues on surveillance. So right now in the state of California, when you look at the percent of interviewed men who have sex with men, who have primary and secondary syphilis, you can see that a steady increase from 2001 with about a leveling off in 05 and 06 with the internet being named as the number one site where new cases of recent syphilis infection are meeting in California. That surpasses bars and clubs and other venues, and that's why we are so focused on using the internet as a tool and as a venue for sexual health promotion. When we look specifically at sites, so we can drill down even further and look where new cases that we interview report where they're meeting specific partners. Back in 2002, you can see it was predominantly AOL. AOL becomes less common, and now in the state of California, Adam for Adam becomes our number one cited venue where new syphilis cases in the state of California meet partners. And one of the challenges that we have to address is we don't have a good relationship with Adam for Adam, with owners, with responsible individuals, and how do we, either as a city of San Francisco, the state of California, or as a country of health professionals trying to promote sexual health, how do we interact with a site like Adam for Adam to meet them where they're at and find some common goals? Their primary goals are to sell advertising. Our primary goals are to promote sexual health. So switching a little bit from surveillance, which kind of tells us where we need to work, to education and health promotion, so what can we actually do? So years ago, we created the San Francisco City Clinic website, and hopefully by now, every STD program in the United States has a website that's user-friendly, easily accessible, provides hours of service, provides links to information, and becomes a home portal for people that you serve in your areas to get update sexual health information that's relevant for the communities you serve. I don't think we can rely, as I kind of led in the preamble, I don't think we can rely on the federal government to provide medically accurate information. I think it has to be done locally based on the local community standards with local experts. Another type of intervention which was created through a community process along with our partners at ISIS is a site called Hooking Up Online, which acknowledges that it's normative behavior, particularly in San Francisco, for gay men to hook up online. And so here's a way to address the normative behavior. This is what people are doing, and provide them some sexual health tips and information and links about how to engage in sex a little bit more safely, perhaps, or a little bit more knowledge. So something with images that resonate with that target population. Very recently, we've engaged in a partnership with TalMed.com where we can provide brief sexual health videos. So people tell me that people want to download brief podcasts or video casts. They want to go online. They want to get small feeds of information. And generally, people don't have the either the patient's interest to read a lot, but they will listen to a, quote, health expert talk for about 2 minutes about a sexual health topic. So over time, we've expanded the type of video feeds that we provide people from issues around chlamydia testing, gonorrhea testing, herpes test, what to do if your test is negative or positive, in real language that people can understand so they can actually be informed when they speak to their provider or be informed after they speak to their provider, and this site actually continues to grow and increase in its usage. What was mentioned in a prior talk a little bit was some interactions with a group called Manhunt. So I think in one of the plenary slides earlier, they mistyped the name. So it's manhunt.net, and through the leadership of folks in Massachusetts, actually Public Health has had a very successful partnership with manhunt.net, where almost every jurisdiction has an online profile. Jurisdictions know how to contact the key leaders in Manhunt. Manhunt can do health promotion. They can do newsletters. They can do bulletins. And it provides a two-way street for health promotion and communication on a site that's very popular among certain individuals. So I'm going to switch a little bit from the surveillance education to screening and test results, which is really a newest area, and I think we're starting to see a significant amount of traction. So Dr. Charlotte Gatos, who many of you know, affiliated with Johns Hopkins University, and I think an awardee tomorrow of one of the ASTA awards, developed a website called iwantthekit.com, where young men and women in Maryland, in D.C., in Virginia can go online, can request the self-collection kit and mail that back. And her preliminary results showed that about 10% of the 400 women who returned a test were actually infected with chlamydia, and she was also able to show that over 95% got treated. So here is a new way to offer testing and services to a population that may not have been tested, well, she showed a very high treatment rate, and now that has been replicated and that model continues to expand. Something that we had done back in about 2002 or 2003 was to offer an online service for syphilis testing, which we coined as stdtest.org. And through these banner ads, we can actually go to websites where people are meeting partners and then bring them in to the kind of testing focus of getting a syphilis test. And over a four-year period from 2003 to 2007, we've actually had 6% of those tests have been reactive, and that's significantly higher than any of our other screening programs. So we do screening programs in detention, we do screening programs at sex clubs on occasion, we might do screening programs in HIV care clinics, even at the city STD clinic. This is at least a doubling of the positivity rate. So somehow we're getting a population that's been underserved and not tested elsewhere that are self-selecting because they're at higher risk for a positive test. And about half of those tests are actually among new cases of infectious syphilis. There was a lunchtime symposium today at noon where Bob Cohen highlighted our online STD clinic test result program. So people come into the clinic, they can go online 24 hours, 7 days a week, and there's about 80 hits a day. So about 80 people are going online a day to get their STD test results. And now that's been replicated at Denver. And I know there was a lot of excitement at the noontime conference today that I hope to see many sites being replicated, the online availability of their STD test results sooner. It has direct impact on clinic services, enables people to get their test results faster, decreases clinic staff time, and may be associated with a faster time to treatment, although that hasn't been definitively shown. And this just shows what the kind of early uptake of online STD test results look like. In the pink bar on the on your far right, you can see a substantial increase in the number of people learning their test results who had come into the city STD clinic. So from screening and test results, we move to partner notification and treatment. The National Coalition of STD Directors has worked very hard, along with partners at CDC, to put up new guidelines about the means of partner notification using the internet. This has been a long time in evolution from about the year 2000 till now. I think they've moved from draft to the final version. But the key is now we have a tool, and there are several posters and talks at this conference showing how successful people can be using online resources to do traditional partner notification efforts. The InSpot.org site, it's become a very popular site, replicated in many jurisdictions, two cities in Canada, in Romania as well, an easy way for different communities to notify their partners and send them electronic notification cards. In San Francisco, we have a little twist to it. People who get an online notification card can also immediately access a prescription, a free prescription for chlamydia or for gonorrhea treatment. So they get their card, they go back to the site and they can click on this prescription for either chlamydia, which would be azithromycin, 1 gram, or for gonorrhea, cefpodoxime. And in 2007, there were about 120 chlamydia prescriptions, about 100 GC prescriptions that people used, because we know they used them because these were faxed back to us from local pharmacies. And this is another way to get people treated faster and get their partners treated in a way that lets them opt in to the best type of partner therapy that they want. Lastly, prevention. An innovative way to think about prevention is if we have these sites that, you know, we think may or may not be facilitating higher risk sex, are there sites that we can actually create that are completely safer sites for people who want to partner with other people who want to engage in safer sex behavior? So there's a site, safesexcity.com in San Francisco, which has about 1,000 or so regular members, and this provides a network, an easy way for people to hook up who also want to engage with others who want to hook up and safer sex. I think I read an abstract in your program book that talks about the difference between people's intentions and people's actual activities online. They intend to engage in safer sex, they negotiate condom use online, but when they get into the bedroom, those negotiations often fail. So it's very challenging just through promotion, but maybe through these networks, it might be easier to facilitate safer sex partnering. So these type of profiles that have been adopted, some sites to support safer sex, support status disclosure on your right there, I think are important in generating the conversation, but ultimately may not have as much impact as we might like to think. So I think that's basically it. I want to summarize, talk about primary prevention. We think about preventing exposure through education, health promotion, structural changes to modify networks. Secondary prevention, which in our field of STD prevention, we take very seriously about screening, getting people their test results, partner notification, and treatment. So I want to conclude that internet sex partnering is common among persons at high risk for STDs. That needs to be the venue where we're at. We're constantly thinking about how to improve our interventions and our services, and the web offers lots of opportunity for STD prevention and control interventions. I want to acknowledge our partners, the numerous people that I work with in San Francisco. So thank you.
So we have time for a couple of questions for Jeff, if you want to come up to the microphone. And then, Jeff, I'll ask you just to repeat the question after it's stated, because not everyone can hear it.
Right, so the question is, who pays for the actual prescription? It's a free prescription, but then the patient, when they take it into the pharmacy, they either pay themselves. Zithromycin is generic now, fairly inexpensive. Cefpodoxime is inexpensive as well. It's single-dose medication. So they'll either have their insurer, if they're privately insured, pay for it, or they'll pay for it out of pocket. And if they can't afford to pay for the prescription, they're advised to come into the municipal STD clinic. So the question is there a process in place to monitor the prescriptions? And the answer is yes. So it's interesting. We have it set up that anytime any individual faxes or prints a prescription, it's set up you can fax a prescription to your favorite pharmacy, you can print it out and take it to the pharmacy. When the person hits that button, I get a blind fax in my office. So I immediately know who is prescribing what, if there's potential for abuse in terms of multiple prescriptions, and then it clearly states on the prescription that the pharmacist should fax this to me as well. So that link gets closed about half the time. The pharmacists were not as diligent in faxing a copy, and that's why we added the blind fax feature, but we haven't experienced in about 18 months any serious forms of abuse.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the question is, how do you expand your current InSpot to include the expedited partner therapy or the prescription service? And that really depends on your locality and whether they're comfortable, the managerial staff or the health officer in the city and county are comfortable with that process. I mean, as we have a fairly loose interpretation of expedited partner treatment that allows us to, who's in terms of someone who's been potentially exposed, to do that prescription. But at the end of the day, there has to be an MD on that, and the MD has to feel comfortable doing that, and that's going to vary from locality to locality.
So then a quick follow-up to that as well. Do you think you're talking about
Right. So the question is, how do you take into account issues of fluoroquinolone resistance, about co-treatment, et cetera? So we use a third-generation oral cephalosporin, cefpodoxime, brand name Vantin. So it's a recommended treatment for Neisseria gonorrhea, so it's not a fluoroquinolone. So we're not treating this way with fluoroquinolones. Now, I say that these are people who have been exposed who should be treated anyway, so we're not actually increasing unnecessary treatment. And with the treatment is the information that surrounds the prescription, that the best way to get an evaluation is to come in, see your doctor, or come into City Clinic. And all this is really doing is offering people an accelerated way to come in. Dr. Phillip, our medical director, is talking about a somewhat similar program for emergency contraception, where we can provide online prescriptions for over-the-counter emergency contraception, which is a contradiction in its own term. But she was able to show that those women who never came into the clinic, now they were getting their prescription, were actually coming into the clinic. So there was a strong association between using the service online and then getting follow-up and getting medical evaluation.
So thank you. We'll have to table additional questions till the end of the session. We will have time at the end for additional questions. So thank you, Jeff.